I want to start out in the book of Jude. That's one of my favorite books in the Bible.
Amen.
And I really believe it's written more to the time we live right now than any other time.
Yep.
But the Jude writing this book in verse 3, I believe it is, he said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation that was needful for me to write unto you, and earnestly, and having earnestly, I got so many marks in my Bible, preacher, I can't read it.
And exhort you that you
should earnestly contend for the faith. I ought to be able to, once delivered unto the saints." He said, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness." Talking about these same people over in verse 10, he says, "But these speak evil of the things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves." And he said this, "Woe be unto them, for they've gone the way of Cain, ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, perished in the gainsayings of Kore." I thought about this, and I just put this in there. You can take that verse right there and pick out just about every cult, false religion, they'll fall somewhere under the one of those three. And in verse 12, he said this about him. He said, "They're twice dead, plucked up by the roots." And I think I know what he means, what he's talking about there. He's talking about people that's lost in religion. People, a man that's lost in religion, a woman or a man, boy, girl, you're not going to reach them. Chances are you're not going to reach them with the gospel. And that's the reason they're harder to reach. They're twice dead. Not once, but twice dead. That's twice as much. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. In verse 19, I'll go over there and say, "These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." There's that "but," preacher. He said, "But ye, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God." I was teaching Sunday school the last time I taught, I believe, it's been some time back. And I read that verse, and I've never got away from it. As far as I can tell, I don't know much. But that is one of the most profound statements that I've ever read in the Scriptures. And I'm going to tell you something, it's not hard to accomplish. It's hard to accomplish, I mean. You got to work at it. That's the reason he said, keep yourself. You, Jason, keep yourselves in the love of God.
Amen.
That's your responsibility.
It sure is. Amen.
And so, I've really been thinking a lot about this. And that has to do with, I think it's connected, another place in Scripture I really like, over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, I think it is, 10. Let me see if I can find this here. In verse 22, it says, "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of our faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Has to do with a pure heart. A pure heart has always been the demand for pure worship. And so, having a pure heart will take care of keeping yourself in the love of God. I want to talk about a heart just a minute. When the Scripture talks about the heart, that's a spiritual heart. It's not the one that pumps the blood. I was really moved when I got to studying this preacher and got to looking, and you're probably aware, I know you are, of how close that the heart and soul of man is knitted together. And I wasn't aware of that till I got to looking, and how many scriptures, in 20 or 30 that I could just in a little while run on the soul and spirit together in a verse of scripture. And so they're almost inseparable. But the heart and the soul, that's not the heart that pumps the blood, but that's the real you that's inside you. That's the part that God's really interested in. And not to say he's not interested in our outside, our flesh or anything. He does, and he's interested in how we handle that and how we take care of it and what we do and all that. But his main interest is that inner man. And when we got saved, that's what he saved. He saved the inner man, the heart. Brother Billy called it the seat of affections. I don't know how you could really explain that, but I think maybe everybody knows what I'm trying to get across. The heart. Your heart. And that's the reason I said that about preacher. I know his heart. By the way, church, I know his heart, and I think everybody in here knows his heart. But his heart is the reason he's a great pastor. I don't know, and I'm not saying this. I'll say it. I don't know of a man of God that I'm getting pretty old. I've known a few of them. A preacher, I've never known a man of God that's got a better heart than what you've got. And boy, I'm thankful for that. Because anything he does, that don't mean he won't do something wrong, but he'll do it in the right heart. And you can't hold that against him. Amen? But I appreciate that, and it's something we need to work out, our heart, to keep us in the love of God. I think it's important that we keep ourselves in the love of God, and if we do that, we'll be doing real good. And I think there's some ways that we can do that, and this book tells us. You know, it tells us how to conduct ourselves to do that. It's got all the things that we need in here. But I think about a verse of Scripture, and let me get my notes out here. I might use them. I've got half a chance. Brother Brian used to, I've heard you go to it, preacher, lots of times, Brother Brian. Was a teacher in Sunday school one morning. He got on this, and he got some pretty good liberty when he got on it. But it says, Scripture says, take heed to yourself, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with serpenting. And serpenting and drunkenness and the cares of life. And that serpenting has to do, I got doing a little, kind of wondering about that a little bit. And that's close connection to glutton. In other words, it's something that you get so much of, you finally get sick of it. Right. And that getting drunk, that's not getting drunk on alcohol, that's drunk on the things of this world. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something, you've got to be real careful about the things of this world. They'll get you in trouble with God. And so the, being drunk on the thing, and then the cares of life. And we're living in times, the cares of life. And the worries that we have these days. And I believe this generation of ours that we're living today, it's not so much that we're in a battle with spiritual things, but it's the condition of the world and how the devil, you know, he's running things. He's the prince and power of the air. He's doing all right now. I hate to say it, don't want to give him much credit, but he's doing all right. And so, you know, the cares of life and the cares of this world, if you're not real careful, they'll take this blessing. I believe it's in this keeping yourselves in the love of God. He'll take that away from you. And that's what he wants to do, because if he can do that, he got you headed down the wrong road. And so we got to watch out. And another place there in the scripture, I believe it's in Matthew, said, "You are the salt of the earth." But, you know, I got to think about salt. And I'm old enough. Jason over in country, he probably knows too. Might be a few others in here that knows. But we used to kill them hogs. You take that salt, you had to kill them in the wintertime, cool weather. But you take that salt and you take them hams and you rub that salt in on them. Rub it in them. Salt's a preservative. And it hinders corruption. In other words, if you don't get them hams just right, the maggots will come in and eat them up. But you get that salt in there just right, you know what you can do? You can hang them things out there. You get a wire, put the wire around them, keep the rats from getting to them. And you hang them down in that smokehouse, and he can get 95, 100 degrees. And their dish is good. You go out there and take a knife, slice your big slab of it off, throw it in a skillet, best stuff you ever eat. I mean, I like it. But it's salt, a preservative, and it's a retardant. But here it says, he said if the salt's lost its savor, but if the salt have lost his savor, not his. If salt has lost his savor, it is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the feet of men. That's about as pretty a picture, about as good a picture, I guess, as you'll find in Scripture. Somebody's been put on the shelf.
Right.
Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to try to stay out of that place if I can.
Amen.
And I've come pretty close, Jason, to getting there, I believe, a few times. But you just think about it. I believe these churches all over the world, all over the country, all over the county, all over the country, the people sitting in church just like this, that's been set on the shelf. That's a place a believer don't want to be.
That's right.
But anyway, keeping your heart right. We have to work at it.
Amen.
Take heed to yourself. You. But ye, my beloved. Responsibility of every one of us. Keeping our heart right with the Lord. A pure heart don't have any trouble getting through when he goes to the throne of grace. A heart has to be, I thought about this as I was just meditating on this. It needs to be massaged. Needs to be took care of. I remember one time a preacher talking about God, a massaging, taking his fingers and fingering around your heart. Your heart needs that.
Amen.
We need to take care of our heart. We need to massage it a little bit every now and then with this word.
Amen.
We need to let God massage it a little bit every now and then. Keep it keep it in good shape. And so, that being said, I want to move on and go on to something else. I want to talk about this Holy Ghost. Y'all don't care for me bragging on the Holy Ghost a little bit, do you? Here it says, praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, y'all hear a preacher say something about one time, I said, sometimes you pray and sometimes you pray. Well, that second one there, that's praying in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Praying in the Holy Ghost, and that's what it says. Praying in the Holy Ghost. That's one way to keep that love of God around.
Amen.
Praying in the Holy Ghost. Let me just talk about the Holy Ghost a little bit. Some people think the Holy Ghost is a lesser of the three triune God. But the Holy Ghost is God.
Amen.
That's God. And let me tell you something. He told him, Mary and John, he said, nevertheless, expedient for you that I go away. He said, but if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But he said, if I depart, I'll send him unto you.
Amen.
And when he's come,
yes,
he said, he'll reprove the sin of sin, reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. By the way, that's what he's doing today.
Amen.
And one day, after a while, he's going to move out of here. And when he goes, we're going with him.
Right.
But until he does, we got to put up with what we got. And I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Ghost, listen, you can't, any aspect, don't matter what it is, preaching, you need the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Studying this book, got to have the Holy Ghost. Amen. Listen, any spiritual aspect of worship, if you leave out the Holy Ghost, you missed it.
Amen.
He's vital. You have to have it. If you accomplish anything, if anything's any count, anything good, you got to have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So don't put him down on the lower tier. Listen, he's a carrying on God's work here on earth.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, he came into this earth. He walked on this earth about 33 and a half years. And I said the Apostle Paul is the greatest preacher in the Bible. Somebody said, I thought Christ was. No! He didn't come to preach. He did some preaching. But he didn't come to preach. He come to die. And that's exactly what he did. When he went to the cross, listen, that didn't catch God by surprise. He come to die. And when he died, he got up, thank God, he got up the third day according to the Scriptures. And he ascended back into heaven. And right now, he's seated on the right hand of the Father.
Amen.
Doing the office work. He's our intercessor.
Amen.
He goes to clean for us.
Right.
Hey, we go to the throne of grace. We got the Holy Ghost down here. Got him on the right hand up there. How could you lose with that?
Amen.
I mean, you can't lose with that.
Amen.
But what I'm trying to say is, Jesus Christ, he come. He done what he was going to do. He ascended back into heaven, and he sent the Holy Ghost back. And now the Holy Ghost is carrying on God's affairs here on this earth.
Amen.
And if anything's done, you'll have to do it through him. And if you don't do it through him, you ain't going to do nothing. And a lot of people going around the Holy Ghost, they're trying to leave him out, you know, sidestepping. Don't work, won't work, can't work. Ain't no way, Connor. I've found out if I do any preaching tonight, it won't be me, it'll be the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
If you get anything out of this book, it'll be the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Brian, if anything comes out of the singing, it'll be the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's just the way it is. That's God's way. That's the way he set it up. That's the way it's going to carry it out. And if you don't like it, don't matter much. That's just the way it is. So the Holy Ghost, that's the... I thought about this. You know when... I was reading our little study the other day, and I was over in Samuel. And Samuel and God had a meeting over there, about somewhere around the 18th chapter, I think, maybe 12th or 18th, something other. Anyway, God told Samuel. He said, Samuel, I want you to go over to Jesse's house. And that'd been good enough, wouldn't it? But he said, get the horn. And fill it up full. You know what I believe Jesse done? He said, get the horn, boys. And fill it up full. We're going down to Jesse's house.
Amen.
And really, that oil in that horn, that was to anoint the new king.
Right.
That was one purpose of it, but that wasn't the only purpose. When he got over, he told him, he said, don't look at what he looks like, his stature. In other words, maybe what impressed the world, don't pay no attention to that. He said, look at his heart. And so, he got over at Jesse's house, and Jesse started running them by. Of course, he started out from one he thought would be the best first. I can imagine kind of what he looked like. I'd say he was a fine specimen of a young man. I believe the Holy Ghost just leaned over to Samuel and said, that ain't him.
Amen.
He brought another one up there and run him by. He said, that ain't him.
Amen.
You ever have the Holy Ghost whisper in your ear?
Oh,
yes. Boy, that's a pretty good thing, I tell you it is. He run seven of them by him. He said, that ain't them. He said, you got iron nothing anywhere? Yeah, he said, I got one out yonder on the hillside watching the sheep. He said, go get him. I can imagine what Samuel's thinking now. He's thinking, we're in cotton now. He said, we won't sit down till you get him back. He went out there and got him, brought him in. He said, this is him. Hey, I don't know anything else can do something like that, do you?
Amen.
He said, that's him.
Amen.
I thought about this. I might be wrong on this preacher, but I kind of think I'm right. I remember you was talking the other night about David. And old David, I was trying to see where this was at. Anyway, don't matter. He's in Samuel, I believe chapter 12 maybe. David, of course you know all the things that David done. And the Bible said God was displeased with it. I don't know if it'd be possible, but I think if it would be so, that David broke the heart of the Lord. He was a man after God's own heart. He's this same one here that's anointed for the king. And of course, you know what he done. But he sent Nathan. He sent Nathan out. And y'all know the story how he told him about the man's little lamb.
Holy Ghost again.
Or is that Holy Ghost again? I don't believe he's any less than a type of the Holy Ghost in the Scriptures. And he went up to him. He said, you're the man.
Amen.
And my belief preacher said the other day when he was talking about it, he said he's the best friend he ever had. You know, David thought he had it all hid. All of it covered up. And was doing pretty good. Till the blessed Holy Ghost met him face to face.
Amen.
You might be somebody in here today. Tonight. There might be somebody in here tonight. Holy Ghost might put their finger right on that heart I've been talking about.
Amen.
You might think you have it hid. You might think you're getting by. But that Holy Ghost, he'd be the best friend you ever had.
Amen.
Just like he was to David. Well, we need the Holy Ghost. We need him. Yeah, he said, look not at his countenance. Don't look at his height. Don't look at his stature. We're looking at his heart. Do you know how we communicate with God? Through our heart. If you go back over, and a lot of people, you know, they'll run them by the Romans Road, and they ain't nothing matter. Nothing matter with the Romans Road. It's what the problem is with the man to read it. But you read that, There's a lot said in there about the heart. And it says, for with the heart, for with the heart, we communicate to God with the heart, the inward man, the seat of our affections. I think we're talking about ways to keep ourselves in the love of God. I believe in recognition and recognizing the Holy Ghost and having as much love for it as we have for God the Father is a good way to do that. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's through the Holy Ghost, you and me, that I got born again, got saved by the grace of God. I owe everything Amen. To the blessed Holy Ghost. I thought about one other thing. Isaiah had he got in a revival over in chapter 6, Isaiah. And what a revival it was. The Bible described it. He said his train filled the building, filled the temple. And he said, him serpents was flying around. Holy. 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 Train filled the temple. Said the doorpost was moved at his voice. The serpents saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. I looked at that preacher and I read that and it dawned on me. None of that took place until that first verse. He said, on the day Uzziah died, on the year that Uzziah died, I saw God lifted up, sitting on his throne. I don't believe it. I thought about Jason. He all the time calling people to go. People to go visit and things of that nature, you know. If we could get something like that going on here, Jason, they'd be calling you. But you know what he done? Isaiah I got here somewhere. He said, woe is me. And the Lord said, whom shall I send? He said, here am I. Send me, Lord. Yeah. So if we could get something like that going on here, they'd be calling you instead of you calling them. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe as Isaiah ever got away from that. I'm going to turn to that preacher because I don't want to mess it up. I want to get it right. I've seen you do that, and that worked pretty good for you. Right, here it is. I'm going to back up. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. You know what Isaiah saw there? This Uzziah king had died, and he was, I reckon, a good king, what I could find out. And everybody was tore up over that. But he saw another king in behind that king. And that was a real king. And he saw him high and lifted up. I thought, I'm not trying to be funny, but it's the truth. You know, a lot of people think old Trump's king.
Come on, bud.
I'm going to even that out. There's a lot of them thought Obama was a king. They wouldn't either one of them king. The real king sitting in heaven on his rightful throne. And I'm going to tell you something. Isaiah never did get away from that. You go back, I think it's in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 38 maybe. He said this, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God," listen, "the everlasting God." Now that's putting the kind of handle on God that we need to put on. He said, "The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth." Don't that sound pretty good? All of those are great. I don't know how you could get any greater. But He deserves every one of them and more too. Hast thou not heard, that's not known, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? That'd help a lot of people in the time we're living in today. Listen, He fainteth not, neither is weary. No searching of His understanding. Unto them has no strength, He giveth might. He said, even the youth shall faint, and the young men shall faint, and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And they shall mount up with eagles, with wings of eagles. He said, their young males shall run and not faint, not be weary. Something like that. That's close enough. I mean, listen, he's a great God. And we need to recognize Him for what He is. Put Him on the throne where He's supposed to be. And what that'll do, that'll help us. That'll help us keep ourselves in the love of God. Now, there's a lot of things we can do, I guess, to promote that. This is just a few things that I could think of just sitting around thinking. Take the Holy Ghost for what He is. Take God for what He is. He's a running things. He's a boss. And if we'll be submissive to Him and take our place, He'll honor us. And He'll lift us up. And He'll keep us in His love. Keep yourself in the love of God. I don't know any better advice that a feller can give anybody. You know, the problem is, preacher, most of the time, we learn some of this stuff. We will learn it after we get too old to do anything. But I'm like Jason. It's been good to be here tonight. Thank God we have brothers and sisters in Christ. I thought about something the other day, and I'll finish this, preacher, but I just had a thought. I was over there reading. And I was reading about Jonathan and David. And he said that they were so close to each other that it seems though they have one soul. And I thought, well, that's the way the church needs to be. It ought to be just like one soul. And one heart. And everybody's heart beating together. Wonder what we could get done if we had something like that. I mean, you wouldn't be able to carry the mission offering out of here. Everybody be aggravating Jason to death wanting to go visit. Everybody be out there helping preacher. Bill, that young and slain. We need to be that way. You know what they call that in the Scripture? Being in one accord. Everybody's heart beat the same. Everybody's thinking the same thing. You know, sending out missionaries, going out there and visiting, getting the Word of God out. You know what's happened to us? Our salt's lost our savor. That's one but I didn't like, preacher. He said, but if the salt have lost his savor, ain't no count for nothing. I appreciate all of you. I think we've got a really good church.
Amen. But we can do better.
We could do better.
I said we, not y'all.
Yeah. We could do better. We need to get all our hearts. All of our hearts are beating together.
Amen.
Get like Jonathan and David was. Get that soul just like it's one soul. I'll tell you, if you do that, I thought about this. And I'm going to hush for you, but I thought about this. Just a thought I had. Might be weird or crazy or whatever. But if you could get, you know, everybody's soul like one soul and everybody's heart are beating together I started to say something, I ain't going to, I better not, I might get in trouble. But anyway, if that be the case and we could do that, you wouldn't have somebody out here, you know, and say, well, Brother Rick, he's a good pastor and you know, he really cares about people, but... had to get rid of every one of them butts. It would. We get our hearts to beat together, get united, all in one accord, and that ain't going down the road in a Honda either. That means united. Pulling all the same direction. It's greening when I got up to our preacher, but they're not greening now. It's 8 o'clock.